Well, good afternoon. I'm wearing today a tie from Cuyahoga County Community College, Tri-C, and one of the graduates is my friend Frank Jackson, Mayor of City of Cleveland. Also, Claire Rosaca. Claire has been the government relations person there for many, many, many years, and she's a real pro and also a good friend. Throughout the spring and the onset of COVID-19, there have been many milestones that our children, our grandchildren, have missed. Proms, end of winter and spring sporting events, plays, musicals, graduations. And for that, I am very, very sorry. I'm sorry that they have missed this. But we're proud of all those who graduated this year, and we're proud. Fran and I are particularly proud of our grandson, Brian, who just graduated from high school. We're proud of his grit and his determination. He kept continuing to train for the 2 mile, despite the track season coming to a premature end. Last week, his fellow teammates and friends lined a track in Cincinnati to watch Brian run the 2 mile, and he did something that's, I imagine, quite tough, and that is to run with nobody else running. Brian's time was 9 minutes, 31 seconds, 24, 9:31, 24, and so that was excellent time for him. I think it's his best time, and I think he is fifth of all-time leaders in his high school. So we're proud of Brian. Congratulations also to our three grandsons, David, Jacob, and Matthew, who graduated from Miami University, and also our close family friend, Cecilia Comerford, who also graduated the same day from Miami University. Fran, I also want to congratulate our friend Caroline Schenkel, who graduated from Harvard Law School, and congratulate family friends Abigail Sheridan and Eva Sheridan, who were co-salutatorians graduating from Cedarville High School, along with valedictorian Logan Brenneman. And finally, we can congratulate our family friend Gabe Caudell, who graduated from Greenview High School, and to all of your children and grandchildren and friends who graduated from high school or college this year, graduate school, congratulations. Congratulations to all of you. You ran a great race. You made it. At the beginning of the pandemic, we prioritized our limited testing availability to ensure that our sickest patients and their caregivers and first responders were able to receive tests. We progressed about who can be tested. As more testing became available, we've added more and more groups of people, those in nursing homes, those with underlying health conditions, those with symptoms. We continue on that path today. Today we're expanding testing to include anyone in the state of Ohio who wants a test. Let me repeat that. Anyone who wants a test in the state of Ohio can now get a test. We very much had a scarcity, kind of a scarcity mindset, and we still are working to expand our capacity. But we are making progress. And so we want everyone to look at this. I know we've emphasized a lot that they were restricted, but now what we're saying is it's open. And we would encourage you, if you want to get a test. Testing is a very important weapon in our arsenal, and we continue to wage war against a very real enemy. So starting today, if you'd like a test, you'll be able to get one. For example, if you've been around a lot of people and you're worried that you may have contracted the virus, worried that you might be exposed, you could get a test. Maybe you've spent time around someone recently who is sick. Maybe you've even taken care of them. You can get a test. So we're encouraging anyone that wants a test, to talk to their health care provider, or contact a testing location to arrange a test. By understanding who is sick, whether they're showing symptoms or not, we're able to better prevent the spread of COVID-19. You see the map here on the board. As we announced recently, we added an interactive map to our coronavirus website. So you can go on our coronavirus and website, and you can see locations of where you can get testing. This map that is up there right now shows testing locations across the state for retail locations, CVS, Rite Aid, Walmart, Kroger, Walgreens. The map also includes community health centers that you can contact to determine where their tests are being performed. So on this map, what is blue is the community health centers. They are not all of them are performing tests at that location. But if you contact any of them, they can tell you where the nearest one is that will be performing tests, and they can tell you when that those tests can be performed. You can call ahead, or you can click on the links to learn about each testing site's testing procedures. Now, we're going to continue to add to this, and we're encouraging anyone who is out there, whether it's a doctor's location, any other place that's doing testing, to let us know so we can add to these to this list. These organizations and retail sites are great partners. We appreciate the work that they're doing. In fact, CVS announced they're adding 7 new Ohio testing locations beginning tomorrow. So we thank all our partners for expanding access to COVID-19 tests. Today I'm announcing we've added 2 new features to the map. First, we've added a form that providers can fill out to let Ohioans know that they are providing tests. The form is on the web page right above the map. Fill it out, and we'll add you to that map. In addition, we've added pop-up testing locations. Our Minority Health Strike Force has teamed up with the Ohio Association of Community Health Centers and our Ohio National Guard to offer pop-up testing across the state, and this will begin tomorrow. These are the locations for tomorrow, and these are in Columbus. Thanks to the help of our local partners, Primary One and Heart of Ohio Family Health, there'll be 6 pop-up locations around Columbus where anyone can come and be tested. We pick these locations to make it easier for those living in underserved areas to access a test, but anyone can come and be tested on Friday, tomorrow. Those 6 locations are listed on the website. And I know from talking to the mayor, Mayor Ginther, that they have other sites and other locations as well. These temporary, what we call pop-up sites, will be available all over the state. So watch for the locations. But in the coming weeks, we'll have more pop-up locations in Cincinnati, in Cleveland, in Portsmouth, Dayton, Xenia, Columbiana, and in Akron. And we'll have those. We'll try to give you the notice on this press conference, but also that information will be available on our webpage. We're going to continue even after that to add more locations and more sites, and we again appreciate the great work of the Ohio National Guard. The website, again, is coronavirus.ohio.gov, coronavirus.ohio.gov. You can click on testing and community health centers to find those. Again, COVID-19 testing is now open to everyone in Ohio, even if you're low risk and not showing symptoms. We want those who want to be tested to be able to get tested. By knowing who has the virus, we can better protect the vulnerable and work to stop its spread. Although we've never closed our churches, our synagogues, our mosques, or other places of worship during this pandemic, they've not been subject to any orders issued by me or Dr. Acton or this administration. We do know that most of them stopped holding their traditional in-person services and found other ways to reach out to their congregations. They've done it by broadcasting online. They've done it on Facebook. Even by holding drive-in services. They use their creativity and made these important decisions to protect their members and the communities where they serve. And for that, we are very, very grateful. And as I think I've indicated before, our friend Father Tom Hagen, who runs the Becky DeWine Schools down in Haiti, a long time friend, has been doing Mass on Sunday, and we've been able to participate along with people from Father's life all over the country and all over the world. So we're very grateful for that. Over the past several weeks, we know that churches are starting to open up. And so just as we did with industry and outdoor activities and entertainment, we put together some suggested best practices. Again, they were never closed. We're not mandating anything. But I know that people who go to church, people go to synagogue, the mosque, people go to worship. They want to do it in a safe way, and they want to protect themselves, but they also want to protect their family members and other people who are in the congregation. So these are just suggestions, not requirements. Some of these suggested best practices include having families sit together, and then there be space between each family grouping. Encouraging members to wear face coverings, eliminating the touching of common surfaces such as the collection basket, hymnals, as much as possible. So this guidance can be found, again, at coronavirus.ohio.gov, coronavirus.ohio.gov, and will be shared on our social media pages. Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you very much, Governor, and good afternoon, everyone. I want to talk a little bit about the economy and the job situation in Ohio. As we've learned to manage through this COVID pandemic, Ohio's economy has safely and gradually reopened. We've made a lot of progress on that front, and many Ohioans are returning to work. The Ohio Department of Job and Family Services reported last week that there were 35,000, just slightly over 35,000 initial jobless claims that week. That's nearly 240,000 fewer Ohioans filing initial claims than they did during the peak of the COVID-19 outbreak in March. Another positive aspect of this is that Ohioans who've been unemployed more and more of them are heading back to work, as they said, but for the sixth straight week, renewals of unemployment claims have declined. Last week, nearly 247,000 fewer people filed for continued insurance than they did during the late March peak. So we have some good momentum going as we reopen. People are going back to work. The economy is beginning to move forward, pick up some steam with rehiring, and it's a welcome trend. And along those lines, we have some good news today to announce of some seeds that we've been trying to sow for quite a while. As we went to London last year, I led a delegation to London along with some folks from Cleveland, Jobs Ohio, the Canton area, and Southeast Ohio, where we courted the London Stock Exchange to move its America's to Cleveland, and we were successful at being able to do that. So now the London Stock Exchange headquarters with an Ohio connection is beginning to support our ongoing efforts in Ohio to help business get access to capital and the investment they need to grow and create jobs. One of the groups that accompanied us on that was the Stark County Minority Business Association, and the governor and I are very proud to have their continued involvement in this effort. And so today we are announcing, Jobs Ohio is going to be announcing in partnership with this effort, 13 minority-owned businesses in Stark County will be participating in the London Stock Exchange's elite program. And that is great news. We want to connect them to both talent and capital and global markets. This is a world-class program with expert consultation on strategy, marketing, risk management, and talent development. And so it's a positive sign that one of the things that we had worked on pre-COVID that we had secured for Ohio is now beginning to make these investments and start helping to grow businesses in our state, and we greatly value that partnership with the London Stock Exchange and the Global Elite Program. Additionally, I want to announce that the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services is receiving a training grant of $8.5 million for employment recovery and under the National Dislocated Worker Grant to help reemploy individuals who lost their job during the pandemic. As we know, many employers, many people may not have the same jobs that they had before. Some of those jobs will go away permanently, but we also know that there are many employers who are adding jobs as a result of what's happened. So we want to help those individuals who may have been displaced get the training they need to begin to take these new opportunities, to tackle these new opportunities. So ODJFS will work with the Governor's Office of Workforce Transformation to facilitate this grant program, and we will distribute it locally through our local workforce areas, and they will do outreach to employers to let them know what services are available for individuals who are laid off, either permanently or temporarily as a result of the pandemic. And the services that will be provided under this grant are on-the-job training, customized training, skill upgrading, supportive services, and access to personal protective equipment so that the training can go on safely and the employee of those people can proceed. Funding. We hope this funding will help jumpstart employers who are trying to hire people, people who are looking for jobs. And look, what we experienced pre-COVID was a very dynamic economy where technology was changing the nature of our workforce. We know that as we've watched things like telehealth, distance learning, distance working develop, and more technologies continue to be developed to address distance working, distance learning and working issues, that with this these changes in the economy, we have to upgrade people's skills. We have to help them get prepared for what's next. And these funding and resources are available for that. And the Department of Job and Family Services will soon be announcing the details on their website. But we will be proactive with this. We will be reaching out to employers. We will be reaching out to people who've lost their jobs to help get them trained, to get the workforce that employers need, and to put people back to work and continue to build momentum in this economy, which we're beginning to see the signs of happening. So these are all reasons to be optimistic about what the future looks like, and excited to offer a little bit of good news today on this beautiful Thursday. Governor?
Governor, thank you very much. When I was elected governor, I knew that I wanted to pick someone to head the health department who had a real passion for public health, someone who had a public health background, and someone who had the ability to talk to the people of the state of Ohio in a candid way about health issues. Had no idea, of course, that we would be dealing with the coronavirus. We interviewed some great people. On February 26, 2019, I was able to announce that Dr. Amy Acton had accepted my invitation to become the Director of Health in the state of Ohio. With her leadership and help in the first year, we focused on some very important things. Lead paint poisoning, infant mortality, youth homelessness, suicide prevention, and just really the modernization of our public health system and a number of other issues. When the coronavirus hit China and we started seeing this on TV, Dr. Acton started talking with me about that. Her wise advice and counsel and her relationships with other doctors, other experts around the country and around the world have truly been invaluable, and they have helped us get through this, at least get through the first part of this. While the decisions were always mine, her counsel has been superb. And I will always believe and know that many, many lives have been saved because of the advice that I received from her and from the great work that she did. This week, Dr. Acton told me that she feels it is time for her to step down as our director of health. I have persuaded her to stay on as my chief advisor in regard to health issues. As chief health advisor, she will continue to be able to serve the people of the state of Ohio in a very, very meaningful way and continue to help me in a very meaningful way. I have asked Lance Himes, who served as past Ohio Department of Health interim director, to assume that role again as interim director, and he has agreed to do that. It is difficult for me to put in words and express how grateful I am for Dr. Atkins' service to the people of the state. Her tireless service to the people of Ohio has clearly made a huge, huge difference. No one that I've ever met has a more passion for helping people, has a more passion for public health than Dr. Amy Acton. She always has put the health and safety of Ohioans first and foremost. Her knowledge, her compassion, her determination have set an example for all of us. Her extraordinary bedside manner, her ability to communicate, her ability to talk about complicated issues, or at least issues that I think are complicated, medical issues, and put it into language that we all can understand, has been superb and has helped us as we have moved through this pandemic. In her new role, she will take a comprehensive and holistic approach to addressing health and well-being for all Ohioans. In addition to advising on health issues, she will continue to focus on the COVID-19 crisis while remaining committed to the vision of the department. So I've asked her to take a bigger picture look. She's been immersed, as we all have, since the beginning of the COVID epidemic on that. But she's now going to have the opportunity to really look at what she started to do, which is public health issues that affect all Ohioans over and beyond the COVID-19. With Dr. Atkins' continued guidance and counsel, we will not only work to protect Ohioans against the virus, but we will focus diligently on creating a lasting environment where all Ohioans can lead healthy lives. We will work on building up our public health system and systems throughout the state of Ohio. And so I look forward to continuing that work with her. It's true, not all heroes wear capes. Some of them do, in fact, wear a white coat. And this particular hero's white coat is embossed with the name Dr. Amy Acton. Dr. Acton, thank you for your great, great service. We are very, very grateful. I will now turn it over to you.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm very grateful the governor has given me a few moments to just share with you some of my thoughts about where we've come from and where we're going, and a chance to share my appreciation with a few people. So thank you for giving me this opportunity, Governor. And, you know, this was not a job that I ever saw in my life. And when I got that call to serve, you know, my hope was to really create a space and for the health and well-being of all Highlands, because it became so clear to me that our governor is deeply passionate, and I have seen that. I've been able to witness that from this unique vantage point. It's just an honor of a lifetime. But I think it's a mistake to see all of what has happened as me, so if you'll bear with me. I've often said the tip of the iceberg. I laughed when you said about some of the words in bedside manner. I'm thinking about things like Swiss cheese and layers and lexicon and new vocabulary that we've all created together. But truly, I just had the opportunity to be representative of many people. First of all, the Ohio Department of Health. And to Lance Himes, he was a past director, stayed to be my deputy director, and I couldn't feel better about having him as our leader as we move forward in modernizing the public health system. ODH, you are my colleagues. Some of you I've known on and off through different parts of my life, and I look forward to this ongoing work with you. One day, and the way I often do, this happens to me, that I get my words backwards, and this one day we want to talk about for the good of the order, and I said, so thank you, go on, for the order of the good. And that became a catchphrase for us at ODH. We often talk about the order of the good. They have worked tirelessly. Over 1,100 people have worked tirelessly, always for you, but certainly since January when we began this journey. And I see them as the order of the good. And then the local health departments, to the leadership of 113 local health departments and their employees. This, honestly, Ohio, are people that often live quietly doing things for you that we don't see because they're doing such a good job. And they've been working tirelessly in this. And I just want to say I'm so grateful to serve alongside of you. There's some other people I'd like to shout out, if I could, to the State Highway Patrol, certainly to some members of the Executive Protection Team, to Jason, to Marty, to Eric, to Brandon, and others. Just really being with me through some long and hard days. I'm so grateful to you and all you do to keep Ohioans safe and well on the front lines. To my fellow cabinet directors who, again, throughout this pandemic, they have been working tirelessly, whether it be protecting our congregate settings in state, from prisons to our psychiatric hospitals to places for folks with disabilities. They just work tirelessly, whether it's the Minority Task Force, whether it's ODOT. And I remember them lighting up the bridges when this first began so that we felt the pride in Ohio. They are just the most amazing team, and I am grateful. And to the governor's team, to the lieutenant governor, to Anne O'Donnell and Laurel Dawson, again, I'm learning so much from you. This is a whole new world for me, and I am grateful to you. To the team here, to Eric, who I always say next slide to, and made that beautiful video of the young girls wearing these coats that I'll remember forever. You know, to Lisa, to Dan, to the entire team here. I want to say to the press, this has been a journey we have been on together. I don't think a lot of people at home know it, but much economy was hit hard. You know, newspapers and press were already struggling in the economy, in their field, and many were furloughed during this time, but still worked weeks on and week off. But it's been so important to help educate Ohioans, so I do want to say that. To the legislators who do so much on this work every day, but most importantly, to the governor and to Fran, their passion, their deep commitment to be a governor during what is 100 years of history that has been packed seemingly into the last couple of months, to be a leader at this time. Books will be written about this, and I just feel the deep honor of serving alongside this governor, and will continue to do all I can. To my family and Eric and the kids, thank you for your patience. I really want to say most of all, though, to Ohioans. Ohioans, you have saved lives. You've done this. And it is my honor to continue to work on this alongside of you and to witness what you have done already, what you are doing right now to get back into our lives and do so as safely as you can. And I look forward to witnessing what you are going to do next, because we do have this journey together. It's challenges, but I see incredible opportunities. You know, a pandemic, it disrupts us. This little virus that we can't see, in some ways has been bigger than all of us. But I think it's also opened us to see things in new lights. It's woken us up. It's creating new opportunities. So again, I am here. I'm more determined than ever to advance the health and well-being of Ohioans and to serve on behalf of the governor. And so I just want to say this is a grateful journey I'm on, very humbled to be on with you, and we'll continue with all these colleagues, Governor, to work on your behalf.
Thank you, Dr. Acton.
Thank you
very, very much. We'll take questions.
And I'm a person who really has a very strong sense of wanting to do my very best and didn't want to let any of these things be shortchanged. So I really want to empower the team back at ODH to keep doing that work, and I'm going to keep advising and working with them. But I feel with the pandemic and what the governor is doing for, you know, really promoting the health of Ohioans, I want to give that my complete attention. And I should add that the governor has even said to me that I could take a few days or two and have some time to be with my family, who I have not been with in a little while, but also reflect and gear up for this next phase, which I think, you know, we have a lot of road ahead of us, and I want to give it my complete attention. Yes, I believe that this is effective. This transition to the role will be occurring today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is a question for Dr. Acton. This is Jake Zuckerman from the Ohio Capital Journal. I wanted to ask, can you tell us where people are getting sick from COVID-19 in Ohio? I mean, to what extent is the state tracking this, and to what extent is the state willing to release information about specific outbreaks? Are people getting sick at churches, at bars, at restaurants, at work?
You know, COVID, as you know, is everywhere amongst us. And as we watch its patterns around the world and certainly here in Ohio, that couldn't be more true. We have seen everything from, you know, the most high-risk situations, which continue to be, you know, in healthcare settings, in congregate settings like nursing homes, like prisons, you know, even in disability centers, because people are living in such close proximity. But certainly, we're seeing other cases where we can't always tell where someone got it. It's you know, the four C's going forward. Wonderful article today. I found that my new Swiss cheese will be a lot around the four C's. But I think we'll continue to see the spread of this virus in areas of close contact. That's the first C, which means, you know, the longer, you know, within households, it's much more likely that you'll spread it in your household because you're having that intimate time face to face. And the longer time and the closer distance, the more likely it will be. So whether that be people being out in the protests without masks if they were close, any situation like that. But we've also learned now what we can do to protect ourselves, keeping that distance, wearing a mask, absolutely recommend that. Very important thing that people are doing to keep that distance. Being outside, it's always been true with all viruses. I know some people have thought in the summer, will this virus go away? We're not seeing it going away because it's summer or the heat. But what we're seeing is when people are outdoors with any virus, it spreads a lot less. And when we come indoors, you know, that contact will be higher risk. So confined spaces is another C. And crowds. Obviously, when you're in a crowd, you're going to get exposed to many, many more people that you wouldn't normally come. And anytime you have that exposure, you might be at risk. So the four C's, the four C is choices. And as we're all learning how this virus works, and I think the science will continue to unfold, we'll learn ways that we can navigate our way in this world. I think we'll talk a lot more about risk. We'll have better and better data. I'm very proud of the data we're collecting, and we're collecting more every day. We're doing studies to learn more about this virus in Ohio. But it's here, it's amongst us in every every possible scenario that I've seen, from people that are elderly, more at risk, people with pre-existing, to people who have never been sick before and are young. So it is amongst us, and I do hope Ohioans, you know, I think what you're doing is working. It doesn't have to be perfect to Ohio. When we get this 80% right, we really decrease the chance of spreading this disease. So every little bit you're doing as best as you can will make a tremendous difference.
Great. And I understand the public health guidance, but can you tell us, I mean, are people getting sick at work right now?
Yes, people have become sick in the workplace. I think you've seen places like meatpacking plants. I've heard of other workplaces. So it's really, again, the good news is we have best practices. Workplaces are doing everything they can. And I want to say something else. I don't think just because we see a case break out in any workplace, in any nursing home, again, I'm really not about blame. We should understand that this virus is very infectious. We all need to take the best precautions. And certainly some places that don't, you know, that is of concern. But even when we take the best precautions, it's a highly infectious disease, and we will see cases. Do not be surprised. But that's why all of us have to do everything we can to learn to live with this virus.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Governor. Jeff Reddick with ABC 6 here in Columbus. In the past 2 days, we've seen reports that at least 9 or as many as half of the states in the U.S. are beginning to see some level of surge in their coronavirus numbers again. On Tuesday, you had dropped that mention that Ohio's R-naught numbers were showing certain rises in the R-naught data in places like Dayton, and you said you may bring more of that today. Do you plan to release those, or will you characterize further where those rises might be occurring?
Sure. Let me try to do this quick. To go back, you know, the R-naught number, and Dr. Acton is here so she can correct me, but it's the number that shows how contagious a disease is without intervention. And basically, it's how many people that person would infect. So my understanding is that without intervention, people just go do what they do. The best experts see this as being a multiplication factor of 2.5 to 3. 2.5 times one person infect 2.5 people on an average. In Ohio, the number got as high as 1.9, which means one person was infecting close to 2 people. That happened in March. It got down, it is a little less than 1 as of the 1st of June. This data is 10 days, always 10 days behind. So June 1st, slightly statewide less than 1. That's the minute we have. It fell to that level in mid-May due to social distancing and other efforts made by Ohioans, by everyone, to protect yourself and to protect others. We began to see a slight increase in measurement the last few days in May and the first day in June, in more regions than other regions. Let me go through the regions. We're keeping track of these based on what it would have taken to do the replication. They saw an uptick for 3 days, and then they saw it go back down to that baseline. So those are what the numbers are today. Dr. Acton, you got any comments on the?
That was very good. And I think you've always said, you know, it's never going to be any one indicator. I think we have a ton of measures, almost 30 now that we've been looking at. And again, a lot of this data is data that wasn't kept before, and it's cross-industry data. It's not naturally data maybe even that the Ohio Department of Health used to track. So it's been very exciting to get some of these new metrics. And I think, you know, the goal for all the governors and for the CDC and other places is to find ways that we can track this virus going forward. So it's exciting work, and some of the research and data scientists behind it are really doing an amazing job. I think we've all learned about numbers and calculations that we don't usually use. Epidemiologists use them, but now we in the public do.
The numbers that we usually give every single day, hospitalizations, for example, ICU, those remain fairly flat, fairly even. So we're watching all of these, and it's the combination of all of these. You try to figure out what's going on.
Kevin Landers, WBNS Columbus. My question is for Dr. Acton. Dr. Acton, you faced a lot of pressure as the director of Department of Health. The public didn't always agree with your decisions. The lawmakers tried to strip you of your power. There were even protests outside of your home. And I'm curious, how did you feel about all of that? And did you ever look back at your time leading the state and regret any of the decisions that you made during this pandemic?
Well, thank you, Kevin. Certainly, as a person, a lay person, I didn't run for election, and this is a new world to me. And so any human being, of course, this was new for me. But I have to say, for anyone doing this job, you'd be surprised how much a lot of that isn't your focus. I mean, for me, my focus, the need to protect Ohioans and save lives was so intense, especially during this first phase. I can honestly say, it had to be a single point meditation on the task at hand, and it remains that. I can say this also. I think one of the things I'm looking forward to in this new position is my nature has always been, I came from philanthropy, is to get out there and talk to people. And I think sometimes all the voices are also stories that need told and heard. There are many viewpoints. One of the things I've learned at the hand of this governor is he's a huge listener. And sometimes when you're in a role, it makes that a little harder to do. So one of the things I really look forward to is digging deeper and having better conversations, more nuanced conversations. So certainly those are a lot of pressures. I'm sorry that anyone in elected office faces this. It's quite a thing that they go through. But for people who want to serve, it's something they do for all of us. And I think we should all feel very grateful for their leadership.
Jim Province with the Toledo Blade. A question for Dr. Acton, and perhaps for the last time. It has been a while since you talked about the status of the testing to estimate how many of Ohio's population has already been infected by coronavirus. What is the status of that testing, and when will we have those results?
Thank you. Well, I hope it's not the last time we talk, first of all. So, that testing has begun. It's underway. It's a research study, very elaborate in nature, but 1,200 people will volunteer their representative sample. And so that has been underway. It had to go through a huge IRB process and a lot, but people will be receiving postcards in the mail. And within a household, one person can volunteer, one adult member of every household. So the scientists are underway on that. They hope to have some results for us, probably around, a little bit after the holiday, the July holiday, somewhere in that month, they're hoping to have some results. And what that will tell us is a little bit more about how prevalent this virus has been in Ohio. So many people have had it. We know our numbers are far under estimations of what's out there. It will tell us who has recovered. It might tell us some people who are currently sick. But again, it's a voluntary study, carefully crafted to give us some good data about Ohio, very specific to Ohio. So I look forward to those results. Thank you.
Jack Windsor, WMFD-TV in Mansfield. My question is for Governor DeWine. Governor, you've said that contact tracing is voluntary, but it appears there needs to be a distinction between contact tracing, quarantine, and isolation. WMFD-TV is in receipt of communication from both the Ashtabula Department of Health and Delaware General Health District. Both those communications call for non-infected family members to be quarantined. The letters also cite the Ohio Revised Code and threaten legal action for non-compliance for both the patient being isolated and the non-infected non-infected family being forced to quarantine. Can you define contact tracing, isolation, quarantine, what's voluntary, what's mandatory, and how that might coincide with medical exemptions for healthcare reasons or medical reasons and religious reasons in the state of Ohio?
Jack, I'll have to find out what's going on in Ashtabula and Delaware. I don't have any information on that. When we talked about voluntary, simply means that someone who has the virus, they'll get a call. Maybe Dr. Acton can explain it better than I can, but my understanding, they get a call. And the tracing, by the way, by health workers is nothing new. This is the same thing you do for any contagious disease. And so this has been done in the past. It's been done probably for centuries. So it's voluntary in the sense you get a call. You don't have to talk to that person at all. I mean, you don't have to talk to them. You don't have to tell them the people that you might have been around. But I think most Ohioans will want to do that. Most Ohioans, if they've been in a situation where they could have infected someone, they will want to be able to tell who those people are. I don't know, Dr. Acton, if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, that's right. And Jackie brought up two important things, quarantine and isolation. Again, isolation is I for ill. Quarantine when you might be having the disease or been exposed and you're waiting out that period. And so these laws are very, very old. You know, they go back to the 1800s. And it really is. It's something we've had the luxury of not thinking about so much, the spread of infectious diseases. But as we see, they still pose a threat to humanity, especially new ones like COVID that people have never developed the immunity to. And we do quarantine. It is a law. It can be mandated if someone is putting others at risk. It's very rare that people have to actually do it. Most always people do it voluntarily. But it's about stopping the spread and putting others at risk. And so those laws are in place for things from TB to measles, and it goes on all the time. But it's certainly something we're all learning a lot more about during this pandemic. Thank you.
It seems there's some conflicting information there. So, Governor, are you saying that if somebody is threatened with arrest or, you know, they receive a letter with Ohio Revised Code cited that they should ignore it? Because it sounds like you said that, but it sounds like Dr. Acton said the laws are on the books.
I'm going to get the data and look at what is occurring in those two counties. I don't know what's occurring in those counties. The doctor has expressed it, I think, very well that, you know, the initial contact, the discussion is a voluntary. People don't have to do it, but I think most Ohioans are going to do it. But the laws that we're talking about here are very, very old. These are not new. And you shouldn't imply or let people think that these are new laws or that this is a new practice. So, again, vast, vast majority of people are going to do what they need to do to keep other people safe. Without any coercion by anybody.
Hi, Jim Oddie from WHIO-TV. Dr. Acton, this is a question for you. Do you feel the timing of this departure now, what is special about right now? Why not last week or next month? Do you feel as though this is over? This is the best time for you to leave?
Thank you. So, Jim, this is something I've been struggling with over the last couple of months, actually, in my role. And, you know, my answer was get up at 4 so that I have time to read and catch up and, you know, go to bed, you know, way, way, way late into the night. And so it's something that I've known wasn't a sustainable thing given a pandemic. But, you know, I think we've known for a while, I think the governor spoke to it at the end of last week, that we're entering a new phase. We've sort of gone through one phase, and we're pretty much opening up. And now we're looking at a different phase in the pandemic of learning to live with it. So I think there is a natural sort of shift that is occurring here that makes it sort of a good time so that I can refocus. But by leaving, I'm sort of not doing one role, but I'm doing a new role. So I wouldn't see it as leaving either, but just sort of shaping how I can best be of service.
Yeah. Very much. Good luck.
Governor Noah Blundo, Hannah News Service. Yesterday, the Senate passed some conditions on contact tracing similar to what the House did recently, but they allow more forms of consent, telephonic consent, electronic consent. Is that something the administration can live with in terms of trying to do contact tracing while listening to the sentiments of the legislature?
I have not looked at that language. You know, we want to cooperate with the House and the Senate, but we also want to do it in a way so that we can have contacts. Look, no one wants to do any of this without someone's permission. It's just a question of, you know, the most efficient way to get that permission, and that's what will guide me as I look at the language. But I've not actually looked at the language as passed yesterday.
Thank you.
Thank all of you very much. Dr. Acton, thank you for your great service. Good to be with everyone. Unless there is some emerging story or a reason that we have to come back and talk to the people of the state of Ohio and the news media, we will be back here on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Thank you all very much.